book of Matthew, chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9, and then we're going to go to Matthew 15. What was the first principle? Without looking, anybody know what that was? What's principle number one we read last week without looking? Anybody know what that is, Shane? All right, that's good enough. If God's against it, so am I. That's principle number one. We've got those sheets on the back, some extra ones. If you weren't here last week, you can get sheet number one for your notes. If God's against it, so am I. Listen, if God's against something, there's a good reason for it. God knows everything, and if he's against something, even if we don't humanly understand, why would he be against this? If he's against it, we've got to come to that conclusion, I'm against it too. All right, that is the last principle, number one. Now, number two, our principle tonight, as he mentioned, is every sin has its origin in our hearts. Every sin has an origin in our hearts. Now, this is not only what Steve Currington says, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. So on the back of your paper there, if you want to write some notes, and we'll flip back and forth here just for a few minutes. In Matthew 9 and verse 4, notice the question Jesus asks right here, and then we're going to skip over to chapter 15. In Matthew 9 and verse number 4, Jesus says this, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Now the heart comes from the Greek word cardia. Just when you walk into the hospital and you see the cardiac unit, you know that's the heart unit. The Greek word is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. The Latin derivative that we get our English word from is C-O-R, cor. Car is heart, K-A-R, Greek, C-O-R, Latin, cor. English, C-O-R-E. The heart is the very, very core of your being. It is the most innermost part of your being. I think he made a good point tonight when he said we memorize with our head, but we meditate with our heart. Now, we need to memorize with our heads because then the Holy Spirit will have something to draw from to work in our hearts. But as he said so good, and I saw this too. I've seen this phenomenon several times. I've seen people memorize thousands of verses of Scripture, and they were basket cases. They were train wrecks of human beings. They weren't good Christians at all. The only thing they proved is that God had given them a photographic mind, that's all. There's no proof that a person's spiritual because they're able to really memorize a lot of Scripture. Now, we all ought to do that. We all ought to do that. We all ought to memorize Scripture in our heads so that we can pull it down into our hearts and meditate upon it. But it's the meditation upon truth that keeps us from sin, as he brought out. Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Now, what kind of evil? Matthew 9:4. What kind of evil comes forth from the heart? Turn to Matthew 15. And I want you to notice seven things listed here, where Jesus is saying the same thing. Principle 2 is saying, every sin has its origin in the heart. Matthew 15, look at verse number 19. Jesus is speaking, he says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." Well, that's very general. "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." That word defile there means to pollute, to make unclean, to make unholy, to make profane. What is it that defiles a man? First of all, the thought life in his heart. And he lists seven things here that originate in the heart. What was the original sin? I think I mentioned it last week. The original sin in Ezekiel 28 was Lucifer, when it says this, his heart was lifted up in pride because of his beauty. His heart, was it had its origin in his heart. We see his rebellion now, don't we? We see his murder, his lust to kill people. We see his temptation of human beings and so on and so forth. It's horrific what the devil has done to the human race. But it all originated in his heart when he began to look at himself in the mirror, so to speak, and said, I'm more beautiful than everybody else. Therefore, I'm better than everybody else. I'm more talented than everybody else. I'm full of wisdom. I'm a musical being. They're not. I'm better. And his heart was lifted up. And that was the first sin ever. It originated in the heart. And so he lists seven things here. Evil thoughts, murders, adultery. Nobody just wakes up one day and murders somebody. There's a long process of thinking about that in their heart. Dr. Bob Jones used to say, nobody falls into sin. It is just the natural order of somebody who has been thinking about something for a long, 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 long time. Adulteries, fornications. Notice the plural use of the words, adulteries. That's men thinking about other women, all kinds of other women. That's women thinking about all kinds of other men. Fornications, that's a general word for all kinds of sexual sins outside of marriage and all the different forms it takes. Thefts. Nobody just walks into a Kohl's store or Walmart and just, bang, why'd you steal that? I have no idea. No, they premeditate that in their heart before they steal something. False witness, which is lying. A person's a liar in their heart before they ever lie with their lips. And blasphemy. When somebody curses Christ, when somebody curses God and uses profanity. I heard a good definition they one time said. They said, profanity is the heart throwing up. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Profanity is the heart throwing up. When somebody curses Christ with their mouth, curses God with their mouth, they already thought it in their hearts. So here's seven. It originates in the heart. Now let's go to Mark's account. He lists 13. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Again, we're just trying to build on what Brother Steve said tonight. Every sin has its origin in the heart. Now Jesus lists these same seven that were in Matthew 15. Now we have the same seven, not necessarily in order, and then we have about six more. 13 now are in this list of what Jesus says comes out of the heart of man and defiles that man. Verse 21, Mark 7, 21, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts. Now here's a new one, covetousness. Here's another new one, wickedness. Here's another new one, deceit. Here's another one, lasciviousness. Here's another one, an evil eye. Then blasphemy is repeated. And then pride and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Somebody says foolishness is evil. That's what it says. All these evil things. In Proverbs 24:9, the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. We're not supposed to be foolish in our minds. We're not supposed to be thinking foolish thoughts. That means senseless thoughts, thoughts full of folly, thoughtlessness. There's a lot of that today. Notice these new ones, covetousness in Mark's account. That's a greedy desire to have more and more and more and more and more. Wickedness here refers to depravity and iniquity. Deceit means fooling one by craft or guile. Deceit. Boy, there's a lot of that today. Deceiving people. Relationships are often very deceitful. Boys will have deceit in their heart. I can remember being in the Army, and I would stay in on the weekends, but some of those other soldiers would get weekend passes, and I can remember them scheming how they were going to take this girl out, and they were going to buy her a nice dinner, and this, and this, and this, this, and eventually you know what. That was all in their hearts before they did it. And then they'd come back and they'd brag about those they conquered. All right, that's deceit. That's an evil thing that comes forth from the heart. Lasciviousness, a big long word, which means unbridled lust, filthiness, shamelessness. An evil eye, I think of the words of Christ who said, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body would be full of darkness. It means looking at things from a perspective of evil instead of good. An evil eye. When you look at somebody and say, oh, he just plays the piano so he can show off. They're looking at things from a perspective of evil rather than saying good. Well, thank God this young man wants to serve the Lord and this young lady wants to serve the Lord and play the piano and so on. We're supposed to think lovely thoughts. It says in Philippians 4 and verse 8, if these thoughts are bad, write down Philippians 4 and verse 8. That gives us themes for good thinking. It says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report. You know, somebody says, boy, I got to lead someone to Christ while I was out on visitation. That's a good report. The person with the evil eye says, oh, they're just saying that to show off. No, we ought to think about things with a good report. Virtue. These are the things we're supposed to think about. And then it goes on and Jesus talks about an evil eye. Pride. As I mention often, pride is just constantly thinking about yourself. A swollen estimate of one's power or ability. Pride could just be us every day saying, I don't need to pray. I'm going to do fine today without God. Why should I have to pray? That's a swollen estimate a person has of themselves. Pride is an evil thing. It defiles a man. And then foolishness, as we mentioned, that's folly, senselessness, thoughtlessness. So, the principle tonight is right. Every sin has its origin in the heart, as he says at the bottom of his paper, and you can read the rest on your own, because he adds to some of the things that he mentioned on the DVD. He said, remember, before you ever did it, you thunk it. And I know that's maybe a little bit of Southern English there, but it's a good point. It's a good point. We have got to control what we think. Dr. Bob Jones, again, used to say this, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. And he's referring to the human thought life. There's no way you can stop a thought from shooting into your mind. It's not possible. But you can stop it right there and say, I'm not going to dwell on that anymore. Especially in that area where you have a stubborn habit or where you have an addiction. The devil will come after your heart and will try to put something into your heart. He'll keep just trying to glance that one thought because he knows he's studied you. He's studied me. He knows what our weakness is. And so he comes at us every day with a thought. For instance, I've never smoked cigarettes in my life. Maybe some of you do. I'll guarantee you, if you do, you'll have these little thoughts all day long. You need a cigarette. And you can't stop that thought from coming into your mind, but you can stop it from building a nest there. All right, I've never gambled in my life. He doesn't waste his time trying to put the thought of gambling in my mind or smoking cigarettes. But boy, there's other things where he'll whip that thought into my mind every single day. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 5, and verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie? There's the principle illustrated right there. Acts 5 and verse 3. Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie? Where did we learn earlier? Where does deceit come from? Where does false witness come from? The heart. Who filled Ananias' heart, according to the scriptures, to lie? It was Satan. Satan put the thought in there. Ananias began to dwell on it. Ananias had sold a whole bunch of land. He had made a promise to God. He had made a promise to the Holy Ghost that he would give every dime he made. Now, that was his business. Peter even said that. You could have kept all the money yourself. But once you made the vow to God that you were going to give it, then you had to keep your word. And so he sold the land. Maybe he got more for it than he expected. He said, man, I can't give all of this. I think I'm going to keep half of it. And then I'm just going to give half. And you know, he got struck dead for this. If you read Acts chapter 5. But where'd that thought come from? Satan. Now, this guy was a believer. This guy was a member of the church at Jerusalem. What does this story tell us? Satan can fill the hearts of believers with thoughts. Satan can't fill us. We're not demon-possessed, but he can fill us, our hearts with thoughts. And believe me, he comes at you and he comes at me every day with that one particular weakness and says, man, you need a cigarette. Why don't you just buy one quick draw? Or you just need one drink. Nobody will see you. Or you begin to dwell on lust or pride or whatever it might be. And you can't stop it from coming in, but you can stop yourself from thinking about it. In Psalm 119, 113, it says this, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. This thing about love, what is the solution to tonight's problem? Well, if you're in the book of Mark still, turn over to Mark chapter 12. We just talked about all these evil things that defile a man and pollute a man. What is the solution to fixing our hearts? In Mark chapter 12, and this is a verse every one of us ought to, if you haven't already, reach for a blue card and write out and try to memorize, because as far as I'm concerned, this is one of the most important verses in all the Bible. Mark 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Notice, this is a commandment, okay? And right here is where we really have a problem with this thing called love in the human race. We think love's an option. We think it's some choice that we can make. I don't feel like loving today. We think it's a suggestion. We really do. I do too sometimes. I just don't feel like loving that person. You ever do that? And we think love is a feeling or a lust. No, Jesus said it's a commandment. This is the first and great commandment. Okay, we don't have a choice. You got to love God. And then you have to love him his way, not our way. Well, I love God in my own way. Well, forget that. Love him in his way. What is it? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. What's the first part? With all your heart. Now, that's the solution to tonight's problem. Every sin has its origin in the heart. But if I can love God with all my heart, if I can just love God, then any kind of satanic suggestion to my heart, I could say, no, wait a minute, I'm loving God with all my heart. I'm loving God with all my heart. When we allow these evil things to rest in our hearts and build their nests in our hearts and grow, basically we have a love failure. A love failure. And we have got to love the Lord. And you say, well, what's in it for me? Well, in Matthew 5 and verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There will be things that God will show you about himself, not with your physical eyes, but with your spiritual understanding, that other people will never know. Other people will never know. James admonishes us in James chapter number 4 and verse number 8, he says these words. Let me find it and I'll read it for you here. James chapter 4, verse 8. See, when it comes to the heart, it takes some work. It says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See, the heart oftentimes in people has two lives. This word double-minded means a double interest. It has interest in two things. We need to be careful about that. There are times where if we're not careful, we'll be satisfied with our heart having spiritual interests and our heart having carnal interests, and we'll flip back and forth between the two lives. Well, church is over. Time for me to get back to my carnal interests. You know, or my ministry's done, and the time for me to get back to my carnal interests. Church is over. Time to see what's on TV. And the Bible says a double-minded man, that is a man with double interest, is unstable in all his ways. And so it says, purify your heart from this double-mindedness, from having a double interest. Purify your heart from living this life that's half spiritual or half carnal or 90% carnal, 10% spiritual. That's a double-minded man. The Bible says we should be spiritual and spiritually minded at all times. Now, that means you do apply your mind to your work. I mean, if you're working heavy equipment and that's God's will for your life, that's a spiritual time for you. If you're building a house and that's God's will for your life to build houses, that's still having a spiritual mind as you think about where to put the framing and so on and so forth. All right? But man alive, it's when the mind begins to have free time. And it's when the heart begins to have that free time, and it's what we fill it with. We got to be careful about that. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Ask God for his help in this. David did. In Psalm 51, verse 10, David prayed and said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The heart is mentioned 876 times in the Bible. It is a major theme of the Scriptures. Getting our hearts right with God and then keeping our hearts right with God. We got to watch what our eyes see. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51. Mine eye affecteth my heart. And we got to watch what imaginations, that are images that we conjure up in our minds that we dwell on. We got to be careful what we hear. These are all gates to the heart that can be used by the devil to plant a thought there, as they did in Ananias, that leads to an action. Before we did it, we thunk it. Every sin has its origin in our hearts. All right, let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us now. We pray, Lord, that you would enable us to get our hearts right with God. I think that's one of the major themes of the Bible, getting our hearts right with God. Help us to remember the admonition of Jeremiah, who said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that we saw on the DVD tonight. Oh, our hearts are deceitful. Help us to remember that the book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 23, verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Lord, thy word says in Proverbs 28, verse 26, a fool trusteth in his own heart. Lord, help us not to trust in our hearts. They're so deceitful. To yield our hearts and yield ourselves to thee, God. Help us just to do thy commandment to love you. You are worthy of every ounce of love and more that we ever give you. And to love you with all of our hearts. And Lord, I think that would take care of the matter if we would just fall in love with God tonight. That would purify our hearts. Help us, Lord, we pray. Thy Holy Spirit has spoken to us. In Jesus' name, amen.